Well, the offseason for the defending world champion Golden State Warriors, that is not going to get old for me, folks, is here. And it's time to break some stuff down. There's still a parade to come, though. There's still so much glorious content to rehash. Kevin Dana hasn't even talked about his feelings from the NBA Finals. I'm certainly going to ask him about that. But again, they're the world champions. They're one of the greatest organizations in the history of the NBA. So much to talk about. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. You can follow the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes Golden State Warriors on Twitter at Kevo408. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at Dog Surf Roadshow. Kevin, so far since the Warriors won the title, Thursday night, I had Rick Barry join me right after the show. We talked about it there. I did a show with a champagne hangover Friday. I'd love your first reactions to the Golden State Warriors being the 2022 world champions.
You know, Cyrus, you conceptualize like 4-8 and stuff like that as the Warriors are going through the championship run. And oh yeah, that would sound cool. It sounds cool. And even though like, at some point, it felt inevitable. Until that, that final buzzer finally sounds, it hits different. Like, it's one thing to be like, "All right, it looks like they're gonna win their fourth championship in 8 years." To they've won their fourth championship in right. 8 years, and I mean, it's incredible. Like at the beginning of the year, I mean, we've been through this. Our pals at 538 had them at what, like 37-45, the 11 seed, and no one had them winning the championship. I mean, let's be honest, I was dubious whether they'd win.
You
had them winning the championship. I took a more conservative approach, I guess we could say, and just kind of said, all right, get into the dance and let's see what happens. They'll get to the dance, and then, you know, if Steph, Clay, and Dre are healthy, then some stuff can happen. And a lot of stuff did happen. And it's incredible this team won an NBA championship with Steph, Clay, and Dre playing like 11 regular season minutes together.
Crazy.
Absolutely incredible that it happened like that. And, I mean, just the way they were playing in like January, February, and March did not say NBA like champions in 3 months.
Without Draymond, though, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
like you knew Draymond was coming back, but like, what was Draymond going to look like when he came back? Like, a back is a tricky thing at 32 years old, and so like, he came back with a vengeance. Game five, Draymond. Game six, Draymond. I mean, game six, Draymond was on another planet.
Absolutely,
just unreal. I mean, I could go so many different ways, but I'll cede the floor back to you for now, just conceptualizing. Wow, four titles in 8 years. I mean, three sounded very good. Four, I mean, that just puts these guys in a different stratosphere.
Absolutely, man. And you're right. Draymond Green, for the most part in the NBA Finals this year, laid an egg. I mean, he was just dropping stink bombs left and right. I don't know if it was Robert Williams III, maybe a combination of him and Horford gave him problems. I don't know if it was... he just got overwhelmed from that Boston crowd. I mean, you know, he talks trash and he has the mental fortitude to back it up. But that was a very hostile environment he was dealing with. He had his family with him. But game six, Dre was a whole other beast. I mean, I don't know if they can win. They can seal the NBA Finals without his performance that game. Who did you have winning the NBA Finals? Like back in August, you know, Stephen A. Smith is the only other person I can recall picking the Warriors when the season started. It just came down to like, I mean, we just went through this insane grind of the 2 months that is the NBA postseason. And you know, if you love the Warriors, especially, I mean, we were going through an emotional roller coaster, man. I mean, I was mentally exhausted by the end of this. I was begging for a game seven not to happen just because.
Me too.
I was done. I was tapped, yeah. Dude. I mean, every one of these games, like the moment, like it was like 2-3 hours before tip off, I started just getting anxious, pacing the house. I had enough of that, dude. I was done one way or another, and I'm so glad it ended after game six. But at the same time, I also did not forget that, you know, the Warriors went through that 5 straight years, and 3 of those years they were successful at it. And I just did not think 2 years off was enough time to just for them to forget that level of greatness. So who did you have before the season started?
I don't remember who I had winning at the beginning of the season. As the season was going on, like early stages, even when, you know, Golden State was playing well, and especially through the middle part of the season, I thought Phoenix looked really good. And I know you were low on Phoenix, and I mean, you pretty much predicted what was going to happen with the Phoenix Suns. So
I bowed down to Spider's notches. Thanks, brother.
But like, they got to the finals last year. They were up 2-0 in the finals last year. It almost felt like this was going to be Chris Paul's crowning year. And
a lot of people felt that. Yeah. A lot of people felt that.
It didn't happen like that. But
yeah,
that's kind of how I was leaning.
I'll say this, man. At the beginning of the season, I looked at the Suns as a legitimate threat until that Christmas Day game. And again, they were in Phoenix. Both teams were up to the challenge. Like, the Warriors only really rise up to challenges a handful of times in the regular season. They're just that – they've done so much that you could see the complacency. You could see the boredom. But a few teams wake them up. And I remember that Christmas Day game, both of them taking it very seriously. And the way the Warriors handled them – coupled with Stephen Curry's history against Chris Paul, I know that vibe was there that Chris Paul's due. You know, he's had all these incredible regular season accomplishments, but that postseason record of his, it's abysmal. It's awful. You know, and you're right. Because outside of that one finals run last year where they were up 2-0 before Giannis and company kind of took over. I just didn't have much faith in them. But are you going to the parade, by the way? This is the parade is we're actually recording this on Sunday. This is for Monday's show though as well. Are you doing that? Like, what's your plan for the parade?
So I went in 2018. I got there at 6 a.m. Didn't see anybody on my part of the parade route till 12:30. I'm like, one parade's enough for me. Waiting around.
same. Hours.
Like, if I was asked to walk in the parade, then sure, I'd go up. But, like,
yes,
you know, it's and it's also now in 2022, I'm doing the math in my head till Summer League, which it's not finalized. But the plan is for me to be, you know, working Summer League in some capacity, as I've done since 2015. Right. And so, like, if I were to get COVID, then, like, all right, then I might miss the games at the California Classic. And it's just like, I'm not going to put myself in a bubble. So I'm going to be more selective around like 30,000 to 100,000 event places. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You know, I hear you, man.
It's a financial, it's a business decision, as they say.
No, that 100%, dude. I went to the parade in 2015. Nice. Just because, you know, again, I was talking about this Friday night. I really don't know which finals is more special. For me, I mean, it's all about perspective and each individual's experience and feelings. Like, for me, when it happened in 2015, and Kevin, you're old enough to remember this as well. Like, I mean, there were so many decades of just pure ineptness, of just pure, just lousy play. And, you know, and I just, for them to actually win the title in 2015 was so shocking to me that I cherished it. You know, I think I was living in San Diego at the time, in Encinitas more specifically, and I drove up to the Bay Area for the parade and just, you know, I didn't know if it would happen again. But this one has its own level of specialness. Which one is more special to you, 2015 or 2022?
This one almost, because I mean, obviously I've been following the Warriors since the end of the 98 season when they won their final three games to get to 1963 to secure the Antoine Jameson pick. But yeah, I mean, like, I never fathomed growing up that they would make the playoffs, much less like make a deep playoff run. Like,
right.
Like, it was tough to conceptualize. And I was just kind of blown away in 2015. Like, this is actually happening to the Golden State Warriors. But I was also like traveling with the Santa Cruz Warriors. And so, like, I probably watched 50 to 60 regular season games at most, maybe significantly less than that. Like, now that I'm doing Warriors Roundtable and I'm not traveling with Santa Cruz, I'm doing the road games remotely now. It's like I can watch all 82 games. I think I missed like I missed the last 4 minutes of the January 5th or 4th loss in Dallas or Minnesota. Yeah. And I missed like the last quarter and a half of game 5 against Memphis as I was driving home from watching the flights. And my friend's like, you know, once they got down 40, it's like, all right, I'm done. I'm like, okay, I don't need to, I'll just listen to Tim Roy on the call home, on the ride home. So like outside of that, like I literally watched every second this season. And so, yeah, that I'd say this one's almost more special from my just selfish perspective.
I hear you, man. That's what it's all about.
I also 10 guys played in Santa Cruz. So
there you go. Well, yeah, you have a personal connection. And in all honesty, like I can't argue with anyone that says this one's more special just because it is more special in terms of legacy. You know, like the first one was just incredible just because, I mean, you know, like the last time it had happened was 40 years earlier with Rick Barry, you know, and company. But this changes a lot of stuff in terms of the legacy, in terms of, you know, the big picture perspective of where the Warriors rank among the all-time great teams and all-time great players. And obviously we're going to break this down a lot more because someone on Twitter posed a great question to me, which was, where do you rank Stephen Curry's game 4 among the all-time great performances? And you and I will touch on that in just a second. First, got to give some love to a longtime sponsor of this program, Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. They actually have the line, if you go to BetOnline.net, for the 2023 NBA championship odds. The Golden State Warriors are favored at 9-2. The Boston Celtics follow them at 13-2. Interestingly enough, I understand it, but it's a little peculiar. The Los Angeles Clippers are the third highest favorites at 15-2. And actually, they're tied with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Both
are facing 15-2 odds. And then the one that I just really, I just shake my head at this because the bookies set these lines not necessarily on who they favor, but on who they think people in general favor. And the Brooklyn Nets are right back in there again. They're number 5 at 8-1. Dude, what are your thoughts on that top 5 right there in terms of the odds for the 2023 championship? It's early. There's a lot of draft picks, a lot of free agent moves. But just from initial impressions, what do you think about that list?
So I always think the defending champions should be favored. So definitely one, two, I'd say Golden State, Boston. I think Milwaukee's a clear 3. Yeah. I'd have the Clippers probably 4th, though, because you get Kawhi Leonard back and you get a full season of PG-13. And Norman Powell, who I think is a really solid player for them.
Agreed.
And then, I mean, like, I get why the Nets are 5th, because in theory – if Ben Simmons comes back and is the player he can be, it's a hell of a top 3 they have. And assuming no vaccine mandates come back up, like they're going to have Kyrie Irving for a full 82. Kevin Durant's still one of the best offensive players, and he's a hell of a deep – one of the best
– yes, he is.
Well, probably 3 best players in the league still. So, yeah, I think Brooklyn can make a serious run at this.
Yeah, no, I hear that, especially with you have Seth Curry – Joe Harris is scheduled to come back. I see it on paper. It's just, I mean, A, I don't know if that team has the defense, and B, I just don't think they have the alpha. I mean, I've talked about this a lot, that for a team to win a world championship, you have to have at a minimum one like alpha dog who's leading this thing, who can really carry the team when everyone else is just skittish or, you know, is really overwhelmed by a situation. And I just, Kevin Durant has proven to me he is not that guy. Kyrie Irving has proven to me he is not that guy. I just don't think they have that guy. And you know, you could go far with a team like that, but a championship, I just don't see it. But I also hear what you're saying too. But, and by the way, rounding out the odds, the Phoenix Suns are 6th.
Yeah.
The Dallas Mavericks 7th. Miami Heat 8th. Memphis Grizzlies 9th. And then the Sixers and Nuggets round that out. The Lakers are at 12th. That is another ridiculous.
I was about to ask you where the Lakers were. Okay,
you're 12. 20-1. And that's so high. I made a funny comment. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted something about the Lakers adding some assistant coach, and And I replied to that saying, like, why are the Lakers getting attention from national media still? I get they got LeBron, but he's pushing 40. This team has five players returning, which alone go push the team way over the salary cap. So all they're going to be able to add, I think, is one mid-level exception and a bunch of veteran minimums. And I'm sorry, I don't see how the hell they're just going to magically turn things around with that setup. It's do you agree?
I generally agree with you saying, just to play devil's advocate here.
Please.
Big if Anthony Davis plays 70 games. Kendrick Nunn plays this year, which he did not play all of last year.
Correct.
He could be a big value add. And they bring Russell Westbrook off the bench. If they bring Russell Westbrook off the bench and he doesn't have to like share the ball with AD and LeBron as much, that could be a very good team. I don't think they're going to bring Russell Westbrook off the bench, even though I think that's probably best suited for everyone involved on that team. We'll see. But I mean, I don't know much about Darvin Ham as a coach, but he comes highly regarded. Obviously, he played in the NBA. I believe he won an NBA championship with the Detroit Pistons in 2004. I want to say he played in the D League too, or coached in the D League. I want to say he was the coach of the New Mexico Thunderbirds. I could be wrong on that. I should have checked that before I said it. But I'm rooting for Darvin Ham. One of my guys coaches for the South Bay Lakers. So I wish them success. I am doubtful until it happens, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. And what you just recommended is very fair. I think if everything falls into place, like if everything goes right, yeah, they could be a playoff team. But for a championship, just forget about that. And it's weird to me. I read that Darvin Ham was a member of the 2004 Pistons. I don't remember him at all. Like, was he at the end of the bench of that team? Like, do you recall his role in that squad? I don't at all.
All right, so in 2003-04, he played 54 games, 9 minutes a game, so back-end rotation player.
Okay, there we go. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Well, again, you could bet on those futures right now. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts.
Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. The first pick of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, and the draft experts of the Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. In fact, if you're subscribed to Locked On Warriors on your favorite podcast platform, you should have heard the first episode drop already. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. You can follow Kevin Dana, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors, and sometimes the Golden State Warriors on Twitter at Kevo408. We were talking about all-time great NBA Finals performances. Stephen Curry in Game 4, that is absolutely going to go into history books. But the question was posed, and I'm so sorry for forgetting who on Twitter posed that question. You know, where does this rank? Kevin and I, we talked a little bit about this before the show started. We have not done our due diligence in terms of research. We broached a few games that we found online. And here are, at least in my opinion, the all-time great finals performances. And Kevin, please add on to this. To me, the number one is Michael Jordan, his final shot in the NBA Finals to win a sixth world title. I remember that moment vividly with my friends in San Luis Obispo when I was going to college there. And look, we were Warriors fans, but it didn't matter. Michael Jordan was just so great. He just took over in terms of attention, in terms of adoration. And that was just such a marvelous moment. Now, when you leave that, then there's just a whole bunch that you can say is number two. I don't really know what you can call second, right? You know, LeBron James, I think, Kevin, you mentioned 2013 in Game 7 against the San Antonio Spurs, and I'll let you add on to that in a second. Magic Johnson in Game 6 of the 1980 NBA Finals, which was showcased in the HBO fictional show Winning Time. Do not believe those character portrayals, but it is still an unbelievable show. His performance as a rookie in Game 6 is the absolute stuff of legends. I believe in that game six, again, where he started as a center, he put up 42 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists to win the Lakers a world title. I mean, I think, I don't know if Magic had a specific game, maybe game 4 of the 1987 NBA Finals or 85, at the Boston Garden. He had another phenomenal performance. And that's really, I really couldn't think of many others in terms of like just a single game dominating performance. So I guess, in my opinion, Stephen Curry's game 4 should go in there, at least in the top 5. Your thoughts on that, Kevin? Anything you want to add or disagree with?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So, like, LeBron's I'm not putting at number 2. I'm just saying, like, it's one of, like, the peak performances that, like, comes to my mind. Because at that time, even though he had won in 2012, people were saying he couldn't make the big shot. And in that game, they were up 2 with, like, 50 seconds left. And he hit a huge shot to put him up 4, basically. Yep. After like missing a game tying 3 in game 6 and got bailed out by Ray Allen and the Chris Bosh offensive rebound. Giannis last year, 50-14, I think was monstrous. Of course, I mean, I do think probably Magic I would put above that LeBron. I mean, Giannis last year, 50-14. And the thing that was most impressive about me, he was like 18-20 or 19-21 from the free throw line. And he had so many free throw problems in postseason. He was so good at the line. I knew that like Giannis had it in him, but that's when he like really, really proved it. Like you can never question this man again. Like he is going to live up to the moment. He is not going to shrink. I was a big fan of that one. And also the flu game that Michael Jordan had in 97 game 5 NBA Finals. 38, I want to say he had in that.
Good call.
Win by 5 or win by 2, I want to say 2 or 5 points, something like that. So those are the ones that immediately come to my mind. And I mean, take any game, I guess, that Shaq had against the 2002 New Jersey Nets. Like, he just.
he dominated that. Yeah, I think Dwayne Wade might have had a really big game in the series where his first one. But you're right. I mean, the more, like, just talking about it right now, and again, just from looking at some of these looking in the history books, I think it's a fair argument to say that Steph's performance is top 5. You know, I don't think it goes above Jordan's 98 shot and that game in general, but beside that, I don't know if any of these other performances really like leap ahead of Steph. I mean, that's just how incredible that performance was. It was incredible.
It was fantastic performance, and like unfortunately, like I mean, I was born after Magic's 1980 game, and like I like know kind of what happened in the past, but I like don't know the 60s and 70s and 50s well enough to say like, all right, well, George Mikan just murdered the Syracuse Nationals to the tune of 60 points and 18 rebounds. Like, I wasn't there, so.
No, I totally understand. And I just want to throw this stat out there, by the way. The highest points per game on the road by a Finals MVP, 1998 Michael Jordan is number 1. He averaged 38.3 points per game on the road in Utah. Second on the list, 2022 Stephen Curry averaging 36 points per game at TD Garden. That is just staggering. What a series for him. What an incredible performance from him. What are your thoughts, by the way? The news dropped yesterday for us. I mean, if you're listening to this on Monday, it was a couple days ago, but the news dropped that the Warriors are not going to be losing one of their two assistant coaches. Kenny Atkinson doing a total turnaround, deciding to stay with the Warriors to become their new lead assistant head coach. Second in command now after Steve Kerr. What are your thoughts on that? I personally loved it. I think he read the writing on the wall and was like, do I really want to be a head coach for a team that who knows what's going to happen? Or do I want to stay with a dynasty that could only get better, as crazy as it sounds? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it speaks to the culture that the Warriors have in place that like a guy who could very easily be a top third head coach in the NBA decides to stick with a franchise. I mean, he was a really good head coach with the Brooklyn Nets. And then he was brought there before the superstars. Then they placed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who were like, you know, KD was injured that year. And so it was just kind of a weird situation. But like he was a real, I mean, he took that team from 20 wins to like the 6 or 7 seed in a year or two. So he was really solid as a head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And so to keep that guy on staff is, I mean, it's incredible. And knowing, you know, how the Warriors like to spend money, I'm sure like he got a nice little raise. And you know, Charlotte isn't known as being the most, they don't spend like the Warriors. I'll put it like that.
They're not the most extravagant of organizations. Yeah. Maybe lavish would be a better word to apply. They don't spend as lavishly. The Warriors thing is just, you know, people always bring up the total money spent, but it's just, that's what happens when you draft megastar future Hall of Famers. You know, they're going to get raises and they're eligible for the biggest raises because they're staying with the same team and they got longevity. This is just what happens. If other teams actually drafted as good as the Warriors, they'd be facing the same predicament, but they don't. You know, it's just, and I don't understand punishing the Warriors. You know, I see this negative energy directed toward them for the money they're spending. And it's just, look, you know, if your team drafts as well as they do, they're going to have that problem as well. So maybe focus a little more on your scouting departments. Yeah, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I will say the Hornets are going to have a pretty good team, I think. Like, I didn't agree with them firing James Borrego. Like, the defense was really bad in Charlotte. But, I mean, he had, like, 10-win improvements, like, each of the last 2 years or something like that. And all right, they played 72 games the year before as opposed to 82, so there's going to be some built-in improvement there. But I didn't get it. Like, I thought he was doing a really good job with that team, defense aside, and they got, like, a really exciting core. And, all right, you got blown out of the play-in game first, you know, 2 years in a row as a 10 seed. But I don't know. I wouldn't have messed with that if I was Charlotte. But that's just me. I mean,
I'm with you, man. And it looks like the two names there before we move on that they're likely going to revisit and hire will be either Mike D'Antoni, who you look, if you want to get the most out of LiAngelo Ball – or LaMelo Ball, I'm sorry. I think that's the right coach. I mean, his track record in terms of having borderline superstar players, if not full-on superstar players, and getting the most out of them offensively, that's your guy. Yeah. But you're not going to get defense. And then, you know, so you're there, you know, so I don't know if you're going to get like a championship out of D'Antoni. And then Terry Stotts is another name who, again, he worked with a brilliant point guard in Damian Lillard. He had a tremendous track record there. You know, I don't know if you could blame him necessarily for the Blazers not going all the way and winning a championship. So I think they'll be okay regardless. But Kenny Atkinson, bravo for staying, man. You're clearly welcome back. What are you thinking about free agency? Let's talk about the future of this team for a second. And what I mean by that is the Warriors do have some decisions to make. Gary Payton II, I've talked about this before and I'll say it again. There's one of two avenues the Warriors can go down if they want to keep Gary Payton II. One is the mid-level exception. I don't know if that's going to be enough to keep him. Plan B is what's the more likely scenario, which is early bird rights for Gary Payton II, where you can offer him 105% of the league average salary, which is not finalized yet, but it's projected, I believe, to be slightly over $10 million next year. And the deal has to be guaranteed in the 2 to 4 year range, meaning the Warriors could offer Gary Payton II a contract anywhere from 2 years, approximately $20 million, to 4 years, approximately $40 million. Again, these figures are not finalized yet. He's going to get interest from other teams. Everything I'm hearing is that he wants to stay and the Warriors want him. What are your thoughts on that? Are we going to see Gary Payton II back next year?
I hope so. I mean, I'm not the one who has to cut the check. But he's worthy of 4 for $40.
Yes, he is.
With what he did.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And, you know, that would take him through his, what, age 33 season? So still, like, right there in his prime, basically. And probably, as we're seeing from Steph and LeBron James, primes go into your mid-30s now. Yep. And Chris Paul. So, like, he'll still be pretty relatively young. I like 4 for $40 for him for sure. I mean, again, I'm not the one who has to pay $500 million with luxury tax if they go down this route, but I think he's shown enough to earn a contract of that stature.
I absolutely agree, man. I let me know if you agree or disagree with this personal assessment of mine. I feel like Gary Payton II has succeeded Andre Iguodala and has filled those shoes in terms of having just being that defensive menace, that defensive savant who can sit there and lock players down. Is that a fair comparison? I know they have different types in terms of their styles and obviously physique, but in terms of just being that vitally important defensive player alongside Draymond Green, I think he fits perfectly. And they just won a championship. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Andre Iguodala, their career trajectory is a little too different for me to like say he's the next Andre Iguodala, because Andre was an all-star. He's one of the most athletic players. And Gary Payton II is also a very athletic player. Andre's got a few inches on him.
I don't see them similar in terms of their histories, but just in terms of what they're doing now, you know, for the Warriors.
Yeah, no, I mean, GP2 is vitally important. I think he's an all-defensive player candidate next year. I mean, if he gets up to like 23 minutes a game next year, I think he could get there. But like, that's what he was like 17 minutes a game this year, and you're not going to give someone all-defensive nod, playing that short a time.
Right.
But I do think he's an all-defensive level player. And if he continues to hit 36 to 37% from three and like operate out of the dunker spot as a power forward on offense, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. This guy averages like 10, 11 points, 5 rebounds, a steal and a half per game next year if he gets up to like 22, 23 minutes.
He deserves it. I hope he does. What about Kevon Looney? I'm sorry for brain farting there. You know, he made 3 years, $15 million on his last contract. Entering the playoff, speculation was that he was due for a new 3-year deal with a slight raise, $6 million a year. But then, you know, look, we saw what he did in the playoffs. You know, he had 22 rebounds in a closeout game against the Grizzlies, 18 in a closeout game against the Mavericks. Yeah. You know, in the closeout game of the NBA Finals, he grabbed 6 offensive rebounds. What are your thoughts about Kevon Looney? I could see him asking for somewhere closer to $10 million a year. Obviously, the market's going to dictate that. Rumors are that the Sacramento Kings are interested in him. I forgot the other team. There was one other team that reportedly wanted him as well.
Wasn't it Charlotte, like when Kenny Atkinson was the head coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think Kevon's coming back, man? What are your thoughts on that?
I hope so. I basically want everyone back. Like,
yes.
You know, selfishly, it's like, this team won you a title, and they're getting James Wiseman back, and they're going to get improved Moody and Kuminga by default. Oh. And you expect Jordan Poole to take some sort of leap as well.
Yes.
The year under his belt.
So, yes.
Like, you have those the two timelines that we talk about. Like, that young core four isn't going to get worse next year. And Steph Curry and Draymond Green certainly look like they have a lot left in the tank. And Klay Thompson, they say it takes like a full year to really get your legs underneath him. So you'd expect Klay to be better next year.
Yes.
So it's like, don't mess with this unless you absolutely have to. And this doesn't look like a group that needs a lot of tinkering.
You're absolutely right, man. If anything, just especially if Wiseman comes back, you really have no holes. Just stay the course. There's two play. So Andrew Wiggins, before the playoffs started, I think it was safely assumed that he wasn't part of the long-term picture, especially given the money he made. All indications were that if they didn't win the title this year, they were probably going to trade him after the season and get someone back, or try and do a sign-and-trade after next year. His performance this postseason changed everything. He's clearly now needs to be a long-term part of this team. He's proven himself. He was arguably the second-best player in the NBA Finals. And when you talk about a player and an uncertain future with him, I don't think there are any more perfect words to come out of a player's mouth than what Andrew Wiggins said in Saturday's press conference with the Golden State Warriors. This is what Wiggins said specifically.
And would you like an extension yourself? You're certainly eligible for one.
I would love to stay here. You know, being here is top notch. You know, here, you know, the way they treat their players, the way they treat your family, you know, we're all one big family. You know, I feel like a lot of places might say that, but here their actions show it. So I would love to stay here.
Oh, I mean, that's exactly what you want to hear, man. You think they're going to give him the big deal? Are they going to wait till next year? What do you think is going to happen with Wiggins?
Cyrus, since we were talking about old Warriors days, imagine someone saying that at the end of, like, the 2002 Warriors season. Right? Like,
I don't think we ever heard that.
Like, I was excited, and this is no – I think this guy's a really good NBA player, so I don't want him to, like, take it the wrong way. But, like, when the Warriors signed Calvert Chaney to a free agent contract, like, I was stoked. Like, I was like, sweet. We got
Hoosier, baby. Yes, the Hoosier. Yeah.
Play for the Utah Jazz. Like, and then, like, they got Clifford Robinson, like, a guy who had never missed the playoffs in his career until he got to Golden State. And I was like, all right, sweet. We got a chance to make the playoffs because Clifford Robinson has made the playoffs every year. And so, like, it's a different world we're living in right now. It's awesome to hear Wiggins say that. And
yes,
I mean, when you talk about the two timelines, like, there's the bridge guys, and it's Wiggins, it's Looney, it's GP2, like, those guys who are in their late to mid 20s who, like, can bridge that gap age wise between the guys in their early to mid 30s and their early 20s. Yeah, I think Dub Nation would love to have Andrew Wiggins back. I think everybody in that locker room wants Andrew Wiggins back because what he did in this postseason was fantastic. And yeah, Clay could certainly get a significantly better on the defensive end with, you know, once he feels out next season, kind of getting used to his new body. But Andrew Wiggins is, like, now that premier defensive wing stopper for this team. That's
yes, sir.
What it is. And Klay Thompson improved defensively as the playoffs went on. It's not taken away from Klay, but Andrew Wiggins at 27 years old, he is right at the peak of his powers.
Yes, he is. It's incredible. It's just mind-blowing that the Warriors were able to tap that full potential of a number one pick and got that out of him. It's incredible. And let's hope he's a long-term fixture. You know, my guess is that they'll probably approach him and say, look, we'll give you a new four-year deal. Can we just bring the number down a little bit? Can we do 25 a year? It wouldn't surprise me if they threw that at him. I've also heard that Wiggins wants one more big max contract. So we'll see what happens there. Again, a lot of it comes down to how much Lacob and Gruber are willing to spend. One more player, and this is, to me, the biggest enigma in terms of whether or not he's going to come back next year, and that's Otto Porter Jr. I want him back. I desperately want him back. But, you know, to me, the only avenue to bring him back is to offer him that mid-level exception. In a perfect world, you give Gary Payne II the early bird rights deal, 4 years, $40 million, and then you offer Otto Porter Jr. the mid-level exception because that's really the best you can offer him. Here he is, first of all, real quick, in that Saturday press conference talking about his experience with the Golden State Warriors.
It's crazy. You know, the Wilt Chamberlain comparisons came out when I was thinking it was still in D.C., so it's been out for a while. I guess everybody just now catching on, I guess. But, you know, I don't mind because I'm a champ, so it's all good.
Any more questions for Lionel Richie?
And him too, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll take it. Now that I'm champion.
And, you know, that actually was not the soundbite I wanted to play, but that's hilarious because the comparisons to Wilt are incredible. They really are. I mean, there is a resemblance. He expressed that he wants to come back. He actually took less money to play for the Warriors this year. He has taken he has already signed one previous big deal in his career. I believe he's a former number three pick. And I think the Wizards are the ones who gave him that contract.
Yeah.
I want him back. At the same time, I feel like if there's one player that they're not going to get back, depending on whether or not they're willing to spend that money, you know, is Otto Porter Jr. Do you have any inkling as to whether or not he's going to be a Warrior next year?
Yeah, I have no inkling one way or another. I will say that he's not hurting for cash. Like you mentioned, Cyrus, he is a nine-figure millionaire. He signed a $100 million contract, so he's Gucci. But, like, you know, you still don't want to cheat yourself in value. Like, if another team's going to offer you more than the mid-level exception, you've got your championship now. Like, I mean, we'll see. It might be a Kenny Atkinson kind of decision for him. Like, you know, does he value where he is right now and the chance to, you know, really, you know, repeat as a champion? Or, like, can someone really outprice Golden State here? We'll see. I'd love to have him back as well. I thought he was really, really solid. He had two monster threes in the third quarter of game six.
Yes, he did.
Like, when Boston was making that push, like, Otto, like, when the offense was sputtering, he had some timely, timely buckets.
He is such a great fit for this team. And let me know if you agree with how I kind of foreshadow the Warriors next season. I could see, you know, the older vets, the Stephen Currys, the Draymond Greens, maybe to a lesser extent Clay, just because he has so much less mileage on the tires given the injury. And so, you know, he's you know, even though he's going to be 33 next year, he's really got the body of a 29, 30 year old in terms of overall mileage on the tires. But in terms of the rest of the lineup, I could see Jordan Poole playing 30 to 35 a night. I could see Moses Moody's role expanding tremendously, him getting 15 to 20 a night. Jonathan Kuminga, I could see him getting 20 to 25 a night. My early prediction, he's going to be putting up 14 points, 5 rebounds a game. The point is that I could see the Warriors giving a lot of the regular season burden to these younger players, yeah, who got this world championship experience under the belt. I know that they didn't have huge roles in the postseason, but just riding the bench during this is invaluable and immeasurable in terms of how important that is for a young player. Do you see what I'm seeing? Like that could be the game plan for the Warriors next year, and then keep the veterans fresh for the postseason.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense the way you've kind of gamed it out. I hadn't thought about it one second until you mentioned it, but like, that does make sense to me. And another thing, kind of looking into the future, like, my guess is that there's a good chance Steph plays in the Olympics in 2024.
Yes.
And so,
yes,
like, if the Warriors make a deep playoff run in 2024, that takes you to June. The Olympics are usually what, in early August or something?
Correct.
And so, like, he's not going to have much of an offseason in 2024. So that's just another kind of thing to keep in the back of your mind when you're thinking about kind of tires on the, you know, mileage on the tires kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, I could see, you know, these guys playing 60 to 62 games instead of 72 to 74.
Like, no back-to-backs. Yeah, exactly.
That said, like, Draymond Green, I know he wants another defensive player of the year. And so, like, he's going to have to play mid-60s probably. You know, if I know these guys aren't fully, like, all about individual accolades, but Draymond Green, let's be honest, he's better than his accolades suggest with just one easily defensive player of the year.
Yes.
And so he should have at least one or two more, and he would have gotten one this year. He might see next year as a time is like, all right, it's time to get another D-Pody. So we'll see. I mean, we've got, what, four months until we really got to think about that. But
I'm gonna be covering the draft this week. It is, I believe, Thursday. Yeah. Which is while the Warriors have the number 28 pick, and they also have 2 second round picks, which is weird, because chances are those two players will be in the G League, so you'll be very familiar with them.
Oh yeah.
Any names that stick out to you in the draft that look really good?
Yeah, so like around like where they might, like around the 28 to 50, 51 to 55 areas, like, I've seen Jalen Williams mentioned, not the Santa Clara one, but the Arkansas one. He played, correct, with Moses Moody for a year. I was actually watching his combine tape last night, one of those games. I mean, he's 6'10". He's a really good passer. Saw him, like, make a thread-the-needle pass from the wing on the spot through a couple defenders to a guy on the block for an assist. It was super nice. He's a fluid big. Shoots it well. Maybe shoots it a little bit low, but, like, I mean, he's 6'10". Not many people are going to block it anyways.
Right.
I like Jalen Williams. Jake LaRavia is a guy that I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but I look at five mock drafts every year, and the Warriors, and like three of the five mock drafts have the Warriors taking Jake LaRavia out of Wake,
really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. The three out of the five that I looked at, there's a million of them out there, but I stopped myself at Cinco.
And a lot of those are just ridiculous, though. Like, there's only a few mock drafts I really put any weight in terms of importance and trust, I guess. Kristen Peek with Yahoo Sports to me is the, in my opinion, just my humble opinion, but she is the most brilliant mind when it comes to evaluating high school, college, and G League talent. And I went with her for the Locked On mock draft. Because her pick, and I subscribe to it. There were a few names before I tell you what the pick was. Like Christian Braun out of Kansas, I think could be a great addition.
Athletic as hell. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if he'll be available, but and then Wendell Moore Jr. from Duke, I could see being a great pickup. Again, I don't know if any of these players will be available. Jaden Hardy, who was with G League Unite last year, could be an addition. One player that the Warriors actually have reportedly scouted directly and visited. Is EJ Liddell, who played for Ohio State, a bigger forward, almost like has like a Draymond type physique and playing style. I think could shoot a little better than Draymond, actually. And then the other Jalen Williams, not the one you're talking about, the one from Santa Clara. If he falls to the Warriors, I could see that being a possibility.
Seems doubtful.
Yeah, he won't make it that far, exactly. Yeah. But the name that I seem to keep coming to, and that seems to be most likely to be available. And you dropped a different name, and that's interesting. I'm going to do my research on him. But Walker Kessler, I think we briefly talked about this, who played for Auburn. He's 7'1", but his coach, Bruce Pearl, says he's actually closer to 7'2". Incredibly nimble, incredibly durable. You're not picking him up for three-point shooting, but you are picking him up for defense and for rebounding. Led the country in blocks during his sophomore season at Auburn, and he's very athletic. He's more athletic than the way he looks. Very strong. Any thoughts on that before we wrap things up today?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been doing my draft research. I love talking draft. I mean, Walker Kessler averaged like 4.5 blocks a game last year. And the thing, like with a lot of his blocks, is he kept them in play. He kept a lot of blocks in play, which is huge. I mean, offensively, there's a lot to develop there. Jaden Hardy, I saw a ton of this year. He was not super efficient, but you can see what he can become. He could be a microwave scorer. He's a smaller than Jamal Crawford, but he has that kind of game potential, like a J.R. Smith, Jamal Crawford, like if it all goes well. But this guy, the problem with him this year is he took like a lot of bad shots. But then again, and I was talking with an agent yesterday actually about this because, you read kind of some of the scouting stuff on him, and he could be late first round. Other people have him being like a mid to late second round guy. And this was a guy who started out as like a potential top five pick this year.
Right.
The problem, but the thing you got to think about is that he's playing NBA, not NBA play, but professional basketball players. And some of them have significant NBA experience. And so, like, he is going to struggle. Like, a lot of these guys would struggle in the situation that Jaden Hardy was in. And so, like, it makes sense that against more athletic, better basketball players closer to their prime, that Jaden Hardy would struggle. And you got to take that into account instead of just saying, oh, this guy shot 27% from three, jacks up a ton of bad shots.
Right. Which,
you know, the tape wasn't great on him, but when he was going, when he's hidden, I mean, it's just he's got a scorer's touch, not a shooter's touch, just like, but boom, boom, boom. And like the ball will like explode through the hoop. So I could see another one of his teammates who could be there at 28, Marjon Beauchamp. I'm a big fan of another guy.
I forgot to mention him as well. Yeah.
Not a great 3-point shooter, but like he's long as hell. And pretty active. I like him. Oh, wait, what were the other names you mentioned?
So some of the other names, Christian Braun.
He's projected like early second round, so he'd be there at 28, athletic, can shoot it. Pretty bouncy dude.
Championship experience, right, with Kansas
Won a ship.
So if we're gonna break this down more, and I think it's gonna be more important to talk about it once the Warriors actually make the pick, so we can talk about who these players are. And it's weird because the Warriors also have some recent second round picks like Justinian Jessup, Nico Mannion. I mean, who are playing overseas, and who knows what's gonna happen with them? Maybe their games evolved. I've heard mixed things about them, but in terms of how their progress is going. But yeah, man, the future is bright for this Golden State Warriors team. I want to mention real quick, there is no show this Tuesday. I'm going to go visit my dad in Reno. So I'll be back Wednesday. A new show will roll out sometime late Wednesday. And then shameless plug time real quick. Rick Barry and I have a new apparel line. And it just came out. If you go to my Twitter account, @DocSurfRocho, I pinned a tweet that has a link to the store. I would love your feedback on this, Kevin. What do you think? We have three shirts and hoodies that are currently available. These are the designs. You can get Rick Barry, an actual Rick Barry jersey tee from his days playing on the 75 World Championship Golden State Warriors. And all these come in both women's and men's style. The women's styles are just shorter sleeved. The second one, pool party all summer. Jordan Poole just doing a cannonball. Those are available again. Different colors, comes in blue, comes in white, hoodies, t-shirts. I do love the designers threw the three in there for the summer. That was not my idea, actually. Our designer, who's brilliant, put it that. And then this one's my personal favorite. And I don't know. And again, I don't know if we're going to make money off this. I hope we do. But the third one is a Rocco Thompson surfing shirt and hoodie. I don't know how well you can see that right there.
I like that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Just Rocco chilling on a board. And with the quote around it, this comes from Klay Thompson during the finals when he talked about the ocean heals the mind, body, and soul. So those words surround the image. So I don't know. Any thoughts on those? Are those something? Are any of those a shirt or hoodie you would buy? Or are we wasting our time here?
I would definitely get a yellow Rick Barry shirt. No doubt about that. 100%. Nice, I love that Rocco. That Rocco.
I know, dude.
That was pretty sweet.
That was my personal design on that. So, anyways, just follow me on Twitter @DocSurfRocho. I pinned the tweet. It's the first tweet up there. That links to our e-commerce store if you want to buy any of that stuff. It's available. Shameless plug time. Thank you so much for putting up with that. Kevin Dana, you can follow him on Twitter @Kevo408. The voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes the Golden State Warriors. What's your summer going to entail, Kevin? I'm going to see you next week, obviously. You'll be doing this as long as I'm on Locked On Warriors. You will be with me as long as you want to be, obviously. Yes. But I always love having you, man. But any big plans for you? Do you have anything you'd like to promote before we wrap things up?
Yeah, well, hopefully I'm working Summer League. We still have to get that sorted out, but I have been doing Summer League for Golden State dating back to 2015. Most of the games you can find on the team app, and select games are on 95.7. So we don't know what's going to happen with, California Classic, what kind of coverage that gets, and then Vegas. So hopefully we're all covering that. I want to take a vacation, and I would do it right. And actually, Reno is like my hallowed ground that you mentioned it. But I can't play, I want to take a poker vacation, but I can't take a poker vacation right now because it'd be high exposure to COVID. Because going into a casino, So I can't afford to get COVID now, but late July, I'm gonna do my best to try to get COVID. Basically,
dude, such a pain in the ass this thing is, man. I it's been almost 4 weeks for me. I'm 80-90% there, but I still cough things up in the morning. It's just I feel fine otherwise, but it's just ridiculous, dude. Are we ever getting out of this thing, man? It's just
no, we're not.
The answer. What are you gonna do? Thank you, Golden State Warriors, for making me happy. That was one hell of a run. And if you're a member of Dub Nation, congratulations. That was just beautiful. So, Kevin, thank you so much as always. We'll be back at this next week. And again, a friendly reminder: we don't have a show on Tuesday, so I'll see you again on Wednesday. You can follow Kevin Dana on Twitter @Kevo408. You can follow me on Twitter @DocSurfRocho. And again, the e-commerce stuff is available with my pinned tweet at the top. And you can follow this show on Twitter @LockedOnDubs. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Kevin. We'll see you all soon. Later. Thanks, man.